Blog Talk Radio.
This week, instead of being home in Richmond, Virginia. For those that listened in on last week's show, we had a bit of a teaser that I had something coming up. I wouldn't be available for last Wednesday's show. Couldn't say why. Now I can tell you. I went and spent 3 days aboard the USS California, which is a Navy submarine. So last Wednesday night when the program was supposed to air and everything went to hell in a handbasket at the last minute, I was somewhere about 200 miles plus off the East Coast in the middle of the Atlantic, probably about 500 feet underwater. I have figured out Verizon says they're America's most reliable network. They don't have service in the middle of the Atlantic. It's kind of odd. But I will say this. I got to check out a pod of whales that was diving around the wake of the submarine while we were on surface. That was definitely cool. Got to see just what it takes to get a submarine in and out of harbor and to feel what it's like in 40-knot winds and probably 6-8-foot waves when the submarine has surfaced, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you are prone to seasickness, you will definitely want an air sick bag. Holy shit. It was a little rough. But, man, I'll tell you what. Surrounded by a bunch of young men that have put on the uniform and sworn to defend our country. What professionals, even though they're all so young. I was definitely one of the oldest guys on that boat, but I was impressed by their intelligence. I was impressed by the respect, just overall impressed. So to the men on the USS California, I had a blast. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was. I spent probably 3 or 4 hours up on the very top of the submarine when it surfaced. Watching the waves break across the bow of the sub, and it was definitely cool as hell, man. It was cool as hell. So then, now you want to talk about, now this has all been in a week, all right? So I have had a fan-fucking-tastic week. That's the best way I can put it. I went and met Saturday night with Michael Carroll and Elizabeth from New England Spiritual Team. Hung out at Buffalo Wild Wings in Waterford, Connecticut. What just genuine great folks they are. But I will say this, to the piece of shit that decided to stick your knife in 2 tires of their vehicle, up your ass, brother. Even though you pulled that shit, left us stuck in a parking lot, I pulled in some contacts, made a couple of phone calls, took us 2 hours, which just gave us a little more time on the patio having another beer or two, and had tires brought to us, installed on their ambulance, and got us all back underway. So the only thing you did, jackass, by cutting their tires was give us a little more time to hang out. So I guess it just goes to show that no matter where you're at in this world, there's a jackass in every crowd. And yesterday I spent in an absolutely gorgeous little town that I'm sure most everybody has heard of, Mystic, Connecticut. There was a movie shot there years ago called Mystic Pizza, but just really cool people up here, man. Really cool. Jesse and I spent a couple hours walking around the town, checking out the sites, and they've got a couple of really cool cemeteries. I mean, some of the head markers that we were looking at were all the way back to like the 1830s, 1700s date of birth. Just phenomenal place. Rolled into this little place called Voodoo Lounge. Sat out back and listened to a little small 4-person band. Had several drinks, which, by the way, if you get up this way and you get the chance to check out Mystic Seaport Ale, throw a wedge of orange in it. Phenomenal beer.
Is it kind of like a Blue Moon kind of beer?
Well, kind of. I mean, I wasn't real sure of... Well, they looked at me like I was kind of retarded at first when I asked for a wedge of orange. It's kind of like a Blue Moon. So bring me a wedge of orange and let me see if I can enhance this thing. It did. It was wonderful. But it's a little local beer as far as I can tell. And it was really good.
Well, I
the food there was phenomenal.
I saw the post by Jesse of the Angry Orange, which, you know, knowing
the
you
Angry
and,
Orchard.
Angry Orchard, yeah, that's what it is. And knowing you and the fact that she's your daughter, I just wonder what she did to piss off the oranges.
Well, you know, Angry Orchard is a apple cider type beer. I think they were just angry because Jesse's so much, you know, cooler than the orchard itself. That's why they were angry, I guess. But yeah, my daughter Jesse and I had an absolute blast yesterday. It had been, I think, 4 or 5 months since I had seen her before that. So it was just marvelous to be able to come up. And the main reason that all this occurred is, you know, her husband Jonathan's U.S. Navy. So just took the week, traveled up here, had a great time. You know, I'm due to pack my luggage and head back south tomorrow sometime.
Well, that's I definitely am completely envious of your whole trip. The one thing, Jesse told me to ask you about, and I can't believe that I forgot in our whole conversation, like on the phone just in general, but I know that you're out with Michael and Lisa. What is this about you getting to fire some stuff out of torpedo tubes?
Oh, yeah. One of the things that they do on the sub is if they're doing drills and training and things like that, which they spend a buttload of time training. They run through drills constantly. But one of the things that they do is flood the torpedo tubes, and then you get to simulate launching a torpedo. Well, I will tell you this. You know when you go up in an airplane and you hit turbulence and the airplane drops a huge distance in a short period of time and your ears feel like you've just been, like, blatantly skull-fucked by Hercules? That would be pretty much the same thing as firing a torpedo out of that damn sub. Dude, I thought I was going to bleed out my ears. The pressure in the whole submarine changes. Now, you know, unlike a handgun or a rifle, they don't actually have like a firing pin that you hit to launch a torpedo. You air blast it. Well, it's effective. I'll tell you that much. So, yeah, and they call them water slugs. So I got to go through the whole scenario of, you know, calling out which torpedo tube is ready to fire, go through all the motions as though we were firing torpedoes. So, yeah, that was kind of cool. Now, of course, you know, couldn't play with live torpedoes. They stopped me. But I did get to sit on top of one. That was kind of cool. I don't know if it was a live torpedo, but it was still pretty cool.
Well, and we'll talk about talk about this later on Wednesday, because I do have some more questions about it, like just in general. And that's my jealousy bone kicking in. That's, you know, almost to the point. I think the jealousy bone is actually somewhere in your foot, but it's at the point of poking out of my face at this moment. So, yeah, I definitely want to dive in, but we'll dive into it on Full Spectrum on Wednesday if travel goes well and you're able to do the show. So,
yeah, well,
speaking
that shouldn't
of
be a problem.
Speaking of jealousy bones, I will tell you, and I know you saw the post about it, but tonight's guest is somebody I'm actually really, really excited to talk to, is Tim Miley, who is heading up the Fox Cities. And I apologize for the typo earlier. I'm just always used to the Wisconsin area being called the Fox Valley River, the Fox Cities, like all that. There's a couple different names, and I was on mobile when I did the post. But yes, he's heading up the Fox Cities Paracon, which, yeah, guess who's going to be there? A bunch of our friends. Dale Kazmarek's going to be there, who's a great friend of mine. Scott Grunewald is going to be there, so I don't think that they're going to actually let us back into Wisconsin after that. I think that might be the banishment. And I'm a fib, so I already have an issue against me. But, Scott, I don't know what you call California, what they call California people. I don't know. We'll have to find out. But Jeff and Nancy Resman are going to be there. There's a whole bunch of cast. Paul Bradford's going to be there. Scott Temperman, Rosalind Brown. Tim's obviously going to be there. Kale Kelly. Just a huge, awesome staff. And I'm definitely looking forward to it. And the nicest thing about it is it's only about a three-hour drive for me. So Scott is going to be in the Midwest neck of the woods. And along with that, like I said, Nancy and Jeff and those guys, I know them really well. They're not far from me at all. Or Dale, who lives pretty much closer to the city. So I get to hang out with those people. But, yeah, Scott has already been texting me saying, hey, dude, I just don't know if they're ready for us. So we're going to have to see about that one.
Yeah, well, you have to hook me up. When you catch up with Scott, you have to hook me up with a Parahorror T-shirt.
I'm going to get a Parahorror T-shirt. Yes. Yeah, that's definitely first on the dock. And I'm going to talk to Scott about it, too, to see if when we go to Parafest in September, if I can get a box of them and sell them for Scott and basically just send him all the proceeds to get the Parahorror stuff out there, considering that our home base is going to be Sarah's booth. So,
well, you have to make sure to carry a silver Sharpie. I want Scott's signature on mine, damn it.
Oh yeah, no, and I'm gonna make him do it. Just that's your birthday present. I'm gonna make Scott do that for your birthday present. So you'll have an autograph.
And for those, and for our listeners that are interested, you can go to scottgrunewald.com and pick up a Parahorror T-shirt. It's actually pretty damn cute. Yeah, we all are. Well, we're Parahorrors. What can you say? Might as well put it on a T-shirt and advertise it.
Yeah, he just happened to be able to be the one that capitalized on it, and he hit the nail right in the head. So, Dennis, I know you're hanging out and partying and stuff for your birthday. Are you going to stick around for a little bit, or are you going to take off?
I'll hang around for a moment and tell Tim, hey, is he online with us already?
I'm bringing him in right now. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
It's going great, guys. How are you?
Hey, going good. Tim, thanks for joining us, brother.
Oh, thank you for the invitation. I'm looking forward to this.
Something tells me that, well, now do they have, well, no, that was going to be a stupid question. I was going to ask if they have extra security, but I'm sure the National Guard's already been put on alert. I mean, you got Scott Grunewald coming out. You know, things are going to get a little weird, I'm sure, but, you know, and you'll have Matt there. Come on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to I've talked to Scott many times, haven't met him yet, so definitely looking forward to finally getting to meet him.
Yeah, well, Matt, make sure that when you get there, brother, you hand Tim like $5,000 or so and just write on the envelope bail money. I'm sure it'll be needed.
But, I'd say, that are incidentals. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, it might be the bar tab. So, I got to ask you, man, how long has it taken you and how much work have you put in? Can you even roughly guess how many hours you have in trying to set up something like this? I mean, that's got to be a lot of work.
Well, to be honest, this is like 3 years in the making. This is the third Paracon that we've done. The first two were a little bit on the small side. And I talked to my fiance after last year, and she said, if we're going to do this, let's go for it and make it big. And so we decided to move it to Appleton, which is a centralized city up here. And we kind of said, hey, let's put together a lineup that people are going to come, you know, from all over the city. And we've got people coming from Canada, Winnipeg, Vancouver, you know, all over to come to this event. And I'm almost afraid to actually sit down and calculate how much time I've put into this event, but definitely putting a lot into it, and we hope that everybody enjoys themselves.
Well, I'm sure they will. Now, just make sure that you shoot me the email, you know, what airport and everything. I have to go meet the personal Learjet because, you know, I'm sure you're flying Matt and I in special for this, right?
of course.
Yeah, see? All right. See? And, oh, by the way, if there is no bar on the jet, I ain't coming. So make sure the pilot understands to restock the bar. Do you concur, Matt?
Well, I'm driving, so I don't think that would be a good idea.
Oh, well, then you suck. Hey, ironically, guess what I'm sitting in front of right now? I'm actually out in the parking lot on my tailgate because I don't have signal in the apartment. But right now I'm sitting in front of a big, jacked-up, bright red Jeep. Just thought I'd share that with you, brother.
Yeah. Well, that's actually what I'll be rolling up in. And unfortunately, the space in, you know, I love the Jeep, but the space is limited.
Yeah. You'll survive. But hey, I'm going to cut out, guys. Tim, thank you so much for joining the program tonight. I don't know if you caught the intro, but today is my birthday, so I'm hanging out with my daughter. Got to drive home tomorrow, so I got a 9.5-hour drive. I'm going to go get my party hat on. You guys have a great show. Tim, I hope the Paracon goes wonderful. It sounds like you got a great group lined up. Everybody needs to check this place out. But
thanks so much. Go enjoy your birthday.
I certainly hope to. Matt, thanks for letting me open the show with you. I'll be on with you Wednesday night. We'll do full spectrum business as usual. We'll have a blast as always. For now,
yep.
CPR Dennis signing off. Y'all have a great night.
And happy birthday, man. Love you.
Thank you, brother. Love you too, man. Bye now.
Bye-bye. So, Tim, you're saying it's 2 years in the making of this. Like, what's kind of a little bit, like, what are the major hurdles that you've encountered actually trying to set this up?
Honestly, the hurdles have been minimal. I say it's been 3 years in the making because this is our third one. We got the idea in 2011 to do a Paracon up here, and it wasn't very well attended. And it was kind of disappointing. And we tried again last year, and the attendance doubled, and we had a good crowd, but it was at a small venue, and we really decided, you know, this is about as big as this event can get. So let's move it to a larger location, and bring in a lineup that is going to attract people from all over. And I'm pretty fortunate, I really am, and I realize that because everybody on that speaker list that's on that poster is a personal friend of mine. And it didn't take much to get them here. All I had to do was ask. You know, we worked out the details afterwards. So there weren't many hurdles. There's just a lot of stress putting an event like this together because you're hoping against all hope that everybody enjoys themselves and, you know, people, you know, have a good experience.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like I posted about it when I shared the flyer, which you can see on my page at CPR Matter, you can see on Tim's page also, is it's like I was looking at the roster, and I've talked to Philip Booth, Christopher Booth, for some reason. I don't know if he has too many friends or a second page or whatever, but looking at the roster that you have, I mean, it's definitely people who are kind of, you encompassed everything, well, pretty much everything almost in the paranormal as far as producers, mediums, like Dale Kaczmarek, who's very on the tech side, and very methodical as far as what he does on his investigations, because I've worked with him numerous times. Scott, who's kind of one of the more adventurous, off the wall kind of people, and I mean it's a damn good mix of what you set up, and that's really why I love that. It's not a crap ton of people. Like, for example, the one at Parafest, September 6th, 7th, and 8th, there's just so much that it's hard to kind of take in all the information that you're going to get. But the way that and the clientele that you have set up for it is, like I said, everybody from every sort of avenue of the paranormal that's currently being focused on, and some of the greater names as far as what they bring to the field.
The only thing that I don't have on this lineup is a ufologist. And, yeah, I would have liked to have one. But you're right. There's something for everybody at this event, and that's the big selling point. You know, if you're into the movies, you're into the documentaries, you know, you're going to want to go check out the Booth Brothers and Keith Age. If you're a fan of Ghost Hunters International, which I may be a little bit biased, but I was. Scott Templeman's a very good friend of mine. Excited that I get to see him this weekend. But, you know, having Paul and Scott up there, you know, to talk about not only their experiences on Ghost Hunters International, but, you know, Scott with his new career doing horror movies, and that's really taking off for him. So it's exciting. You know, we have just enough, you know, that it's in one room. The speakers will all be in one room, so you don't have to decide, you know, which of the three speakers at the current time you want to go see. If you want to, you can check everybody out that weekend. And we hope that not only will people enjoy themselves and have fun, but, you know, possibly learn something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as the Paracon stuff goes, it's extremely reasonable as far as, you know, the financial end of it. I mean, $40 for the talent that's going to be there is awesome. I mean, I've seen some of them get up into the $300, $400, $500, and it's basically just to hear people talk for a little while.
Well, that was important to me, to make it affordable, that, you know, if you want to come out and spend the weekend out there, you know, we have a VIP dinner on Friday night. And there's only 9 of those spots left. So if people are interested in that, they got to get them now. But the VIP dinner is $35. And, you know, it's a full dinner. And plus you get a 2-hour Q&A session with the speakers. And then a cash bar afterwards, a private cash bar. So you got that whole night to just spend with the speakers and get to know them. You know, ask them the questions that you may not be able to ask them when there's a bunch of people around. And then Saturday, you're right, $40, you know, for 14 speakers like this. I don't think you can go wrong. And I think this is the most inexpensive, or the least inexpensive, however you want to say it, Paracon, you know, that I've been to with this kind of talent and this kind of lineup. So I'm excited. I hope it's well received. And, you know, we're about 26 days away, and the stress is starting to build. But it's going to be a fun weekend. It really will be.
Well, it's got to be also the excitement is building, not just the stress, which I know the excitement causes stress. And
Well, the excitement will come Saturday night. After all the speakers are done on Saturday, we do have a private karaoke party for everybody. And that's kind of where I can exhale and just, you know, look at it and say, okay, we did it. You know, hopefully everybody had a great weekend. They had a great time. You know, it's a cliche, but it's true. You come to these events and you look forward to meeting your friends or seeing your friends and then, you know, making new friends. You know, I equate it to it being like a family reunion. I really do. You walk into one of these events and everybody knows everyone. And it's just, you know, it's a really great weekend. And honestly, Sunday morning when it's time for everybody to head out of town, it's a little bit depressing. It's tough to say goodbye to all your friends, but getting them together for those 3 days is well worth it. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a great time.
Yeah, that definitely for sure. So what kind of VIP ticket do I have to buy to get to the karaoke end of it?
The karaoke comes with a general admission ticket. you come to the Saturday event and you're in that for free, and it really is a good time. You get to see the speakers, you know, they become more human. You know, they're not talking all paranormal, they're having a good time. And they're relaxed, and you really get a chance to get to know these people. And, you know, it's just a great time. I can't say enough about it. It was well received this year. You know, some people requested it again this year. Basically, we do it for Scott Tepperman because he has a karaoke fetish. He thinks he's a great singer, but he's not. he's really not. But he loves to do it, and he gets the crowd going.
Well, and that's, you know, that's actually the basis of karaoke, and karaoke in Japanese means tone deaf. So that's the whole point of it. You're not supposed to be able to sing. If you sing, no, it's not American Idol. It's get up there and make an ass of yourself and have fun. So the one interesting thing, and let me see if I can actually physically, oh, well, I know it by heart now, but I did save it. Jeff and Nancy Resman, who maybe not a lot of people know who they are versus a lot of the other people that are going to be there. If you look through my photos, it was last Halloween that we did. I had a basically like a Halloween party where people showed up to one of my favorite places, which is Tokyo Bay, which is in like South Naperville area where I live. And Jeff and Nancy blew my mind, which I wasn't big on the whole psychic thing. I wasn't, you know, it was one of those things that I never, not that I wasn't big on it, I just never explored it. And I don't know if on your team, like, do you use psychics on your team, or is it pretty much just, like, cut and dry, like, hey, this is what we got, this is all it is?
We do. We use a psychic medium. His name is Scotty Rourke. Up until about a year and a half ago, we didn't, and then I met Scotty. And honestly, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. He's become a terrific friend. And he's really fantastic at what he does. And talking about Jeff and Nancy, you know, they're great people. They really are. And that's the big thing for me. Last year we had the event and we had a cancellation. And I was given their name. And I called them, I think, 3 days before the event. And they were so eager and so willing to help me out. And they came out and came to the event. And everybody loved them. It was a great time. And
right.
When it came time to put together the lineup this year, you know, Jeff and Nancy were one of the first people that I contacted because I had such a great time getting to know them. And, you know, really great people. I can't say enough about them.
Yeah, I don't know. Just to let you know, I don't know what happened. It cut me off. It dropped the call. So fortunately, I was able to call back in and just hop back or right back on. So I don't know where it cut me off at.
Well, I didn't even know you were gone. I thought you just answered. I thought you just asked me a question and I was answering.
no,
I think
I
cut you off at the right time.
I did, but yeah, like that's the first time my phone has actually dropped a call during one of the shows. So I didn't know what happened. I didn't know. I'm like, oh shit, am I gonna call back in and it's gonna ask me to relaunch the show or whatever? So, but yeah, so I apologize. Like I said, I don't know where it cut me off, but apparently it was at a good point. But I didn't hear your answer or what you were talking about.
Well, basically, I just talked a little bit about Scotty Rourke. He's the psychic medium that we use. He's from Madison, Wisconsin. I met him about a year and a half ago. And, just a fantastic person. And one of the things he told me from the beginning is, I'm not here to prove anything to you. And I respected that. I hadn't used psychics in the past, but we don't use Scotty on every case, but, you know, we've used him on about four or five. And, you know, he's been so helpful, I can't even really put it into words. You know, the aspect, the different aspect that he brings to an investigation is just incredible. And he's been working with us, like I said, for about a year and a half. But I talked a little bit about Jeff and Nancy Resman, and I had a cancellation last year for the Paracon on Lakeshore, which is what we called it last year. And it was about 3 days before the event, so the stress level was very high. I was given Jeff and Nancy's number, said give Jeff a call, see if he's interested. And Jeff and Nancy eagerly accepted. They're fantastic people. They were a big hit last year. Absolutely love them, and I can't wait to see them again here in 3 weeks. But when it came time to put the lineup together for this year, you know, those are two people that I had to have. One, because they're great people, and two, because, you know, they were there for me last year when I needed somebody. So, you know, I respect that and I value their friendship. So, just terrific people, just absolutely terrific.
Yeah, I met Jeff and Nancy before at a couple of the local events that we have here. And, oh, Tim, by the way, I'm still waiting to hear back from Ursula on 100% on that, which I was hoping to have 100% answer, but, you know, still waiting on if there's going to be a bus showing up. Even if the table's gone, though, we'll still, if she's down for it, we'll still have a bus show up.
That would be great. The more the merrier.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm still going to push it until the last day when I have to hop in my car and drive up there. So, and even probably while I'm there. Like, hey, you're in the area, get your ass here. What's wrong with you? But what happened with Jeff and Nancy was something that I will never forget every single detail from that moment. Is there was a case, let's see, I don't even like calling it cases. There was a urban legend that Mark, who I started CPR with, were investigating, which was it started out as an urban legend. The urban legend was Help Road, to where everybody, or pretty much every place in the country, has kind of the same thing, to where there was a guy and a girl in a car on the way back from prom, or they were on a motorcycle, and there was this horrific accident, and in a last-ditch effort, the guy or the girl crawled up and wrote help in their own blood on the road, and no matter how many times it's paved over, it's still, like, help still comes through. And they call it Help Road or Desperation Road, or, you know, it was an urban legend. Well, Mark and I investigated the idea of it, and we went out there. It was just kind of like a practice thing. We hadn't done too many residentials or too many places, and it's like, let's go out, let's, you know, dust off the equipment and see what we can get. Well, we went out there, and we were getting responses, which was weird. It's like, all right, well, this is an urban legend. There's not much to this. Why are we getting female voices that are coming through? Mind you, it's a exterior location. There's a lot of variables of what the voices possibly could be. So we kind of discounted a little bit at first. But what was really interesting is we were standing out and the road curves. So there's a 90-degree curve, and this is apparently where this accident happened. It's in the middle of cornfields and all that stuff out in Oswego, Illinois. So we're out there asking questions, and we're getting intelligent responses, not just like some sort of response, like if it was residual or whatever. So we start looking into it. It's like, all right, well, we have some questionable audio. Maybe there is something to this. So we start looking into it more and more and more and more and more. Mark has in his possession a 167-page police report of what actually happened out there, and there was a woman's body that was found out there who was kind of like a lost soul, if you will. Like, she was into drugs. She was dating this guy that wasn't really, you know, a kosher, just model citizen. He was into drugs and gangs and, you know, shit like that. Well, she was bound by her neck and her ankles by barbed wire, and a farmer found her in the irrigation well. When he was irrigating his crops, the well actually stopped pumping. And what it was is her body got sucked up into the bottom feed tube of the irrigation system. And that's how they found her. So she was actually murdered, well, from what they found in the autopsy report, she was killed in more of the meatpacking district of Chicago. And she was driven out there in the 90s and was dumped in this guy's well. Well, the first night that we were out there, we were standing on the shoulder, we were doing an EVP session, and I got hit with something. And it had the shoulder of a road, you know, it's got like the ground up limestone or the smaller limestone rocks. Well, that's what it sounded like, was the tink tink of a limestone rock falling on the shoulder. And Mark had thought that I had, like, thrown something or, you know, anything. And, no, I hadn't. Well, we get an EVP later about how I was hit with a rock. So it was weird. And, like, we kept getting voices. We went out there, like, two or three times. Dennis, with his abilities, has actually remotely viewed the location from Virginia, and you have to hear the stories that he has from what he's seen, which ties in exactly with the police report. So, and this is where my development of acceptance of psychics, well, certain ones, not ones that, like, you see the neon sign when you're driving past, and it's like, oh, it's like a tarot card reading. Like, oh, yeah, that person's legit. Let me stop in and pay $125 to basically be lied to. John Edwards. But going through everything, like, I was sitting there, and it was a Halloween party. It was Jeff and Nancy, myself, a couple other people. There's about, I'd say 10 of us. Like, Jeff Mudgett was there. His daughter was there. And going through it, like, you know, all this stuff, and all of a sudden, Jeff passes over. We're at a sushi place. So he takes the chopsticks out of the paper sheath, writes some stuff on it with the ordering pencil, and then passes it over to me, just to, like, folds it in half and passes it over. And I was like, what's this love note? Just kind of messing with him. And he goes, well, it's not for me. I'm like, well, what do you mean? And I open it up and I start reading it. And it said, you know, early 20s female, 5'2", blonde hair, really cute, short, and a couple other things on there describing who it is. And I'm like, no, tell, where is she? Like, you know, he goes, yeah, she's been walking back and forth, like, looking at you for, like, the last hour. He goes, I wasn't going to say anything, but she was, like, kind of motioning, like, yeah, let him know, let him know. I'm like, all right, cool, yeah, you know, where is she? And he goes, well, she's not here, she's not with us anymore. And I'm like, what do you mean she's not with us? He goes, no, she passed away, like, a little while ago. Mind you, Jeff does not know anything about this, you know, extracurricular activity that Mark and I have been doing. I have not talked to him or anybody that he knows about any of this stuff. I have not posted on Facebook. I have not, like, nothing. Like, there is no actual way that he would know any of this. And I was like, well, what's her name? And he goes, I'm getting Aubrey or Audrey, and she's telling me that there's something more. Like, there's something more to it. And, well, no, now she's telling me that I'm wrong. Well, the funny thing, and I start, like, I didn't get pale white. I kept my poker face on and just kind of see where he was going with it. Well, the interesting thing about it is the police report that we have, her name is Audrey Moore, M-O-O-R-E. She was 5'2", blonde, early to mid-20s. Like, he described her to a T. And, I mean, he was spot on with everything. He was spot on, like, he had never been out there. They live in, like, the northeast suburbs of Illinois. He was spot on of the location, where we parked, what we were driving, like everything, and so was Dennis. Dennis hit the nail on the head, too. I will, anybody who's a psychic, I will never bait them, ever. I will never give them anything to go off of. It's, tell me what you know, and then I'll go from there. And my background, my degree is in abnormal psychology, so I will never... I know how to talk to people to where they can't feed off my tells. And both him and Nancy just hit it spot on. You can ask Jeff about it at the Paracon. Like, when it came out to where after he said everything that he said and then I went through and I confirmed what he was saying, it blew his mind. So, but yeah, I guess she was, like, watching me for, like, an hour and a half, and she walked up straight to his face, put her hands on the table right next to me, and this is something I will never forget. Like, I was facing more towards the wall. Like, we were in a middle table, and there was, from my vantage point, there was a booth. The bar was behind me, and it's all open behind in the restaurant. And as soon as she walked up, right before he started writing, I turned around over both my shoulders and looked because I felt like somebody tapped me on the shoulder. Well, he said what she did is she walked up, she put one hand on my shoulder, one hand on the table, looked at him right in his face and said, you better tell him now. And I've been blown away by that story ever since. Like, there is no possible way that he could have known of anything at all. I did not discuss it. I did not post it. I did not talk about it. Nothing.
And you said something, you know, interesting, you know, earlier, you know, how you can't trust all psychics. And I really believe, you know, that goes with, you know, paranormal teams as well. You know, there's, you know, the rise of paranormal television has brought, you know, everybody out of the woodwork, and everybody is able to have their own paranormal team. So I really think that, you know, people need to do their homework and need to study up on who they're bringing into their home or who they're giving their money to for a reading. You know, and Jeff and Nancy are good at what they do. They really are. And, You know, so is Scotty Rourke. So is Zeb Lance. You know, there's a few others out there that I trust. Yeah, if I haven't met these people personally, I don't give them any credit publicly because, you know, I'm afraid of putting myself out there and ending up looking, you know, foolish or end up with egg on my face. You know, I'm very cautious when it comes to psychics and mediums, but I'm also very cautious about, you know, paranormal investigation teams. You know, you really got to know the people before you can, you know, stick your neck out there and kind of give them the seal of approval.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. I've seen, and I don't know why this is. I don't know if it's just, you know, from a marketing standpoint that they do this and spend the money just because they've watched a couple episodes of Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters and try and model themselves after it. But somebody, you know, like, for example, the way that myself and Dennis, who, yeah, I'm CPR, Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers. Dennis is also CPR. He's a satellite team. And I trusted the hell out of him. And this is before he started to develop his abilities and all that. Like, he thinks along the same lines of, you know what, let's cancel out every single alternate possibility before you're going to call a place haunted or there's a presence or whatever. And, you know, and himself along with me, like, this is, like, basically the way that my team is and the way that his team is very, very similar, except for the lines of work. The way that it started was myself, who I'm a psychologist and sociologist. Mark, who I started CPR with, he is small electronics. He's that's what he specializes in is development of equipment and all that stuff. I mean, he worked for the CTA, the Chicago Transit Authority, on the train lines. So he has a very, very good knowledge of, like, if you ever run into, like, a fear cage or, you know, anything like that. But also Samantha, who family stuff kind of, you know, it always comes first. I'm never going to take her away from her kids because, oh, yeah, we have a call and you go to this place. But I also work hand in hand. If I have any sort of case whatsoever, I can call Ursula, who is probably one of the best historians and paranormal researchers that you will ever come across. And I'll call her and she'll be like, yeah, you know what? We're there. Private residence? Sure. I mean, hands down, that's the main focus. I don't go to all the, you know, take tours around the country and go to all these places and say, oh, look what I caught at the place that everybody else has been. But that's not what we started this for. But Samantha, being a pharmacologist, me being a psychologist, and I did construction for almost 6.5 years, closer to 7 years. Mark, working on the CTA, and also the same thing, he did construction for a long time. We have a good knowledge of, if you walk into a home, if somebody on the interview, what we go through is, hey, have you had any, you know, personal loss in the family? We dive in deep. Are there any medications that you've switched? And that's where Samantha shines because she can say what all of the side effects of that medication are. I can look at them from a psychological standpoint. Mark and I can also look at the structural integrity of whatever the place is to kind of give that a run through also. So we kind of cover a little bit of everything. And because there's a lot of even antihistamines that cause hallucinations. Well, Samantha will bust that out. Mark and I will, you know, walk through and be like, oh, you know, the regular EMF is high in this area, which can cause that. Have you ever had any, you know, issues of being afraid? So it's, you know, we, and that's what we kind of pride on is just being, and we're an old bullshit team just like you guys are, is, hey, if there's nothing there, you're not going to try and make it up like there is something there.
I guess for me, you know, we don't really do the, I call them tourist locations. We don't do the pay-for investigations. I've been to a couple, and I've enjoyed myself, but I haven't considered it an actual investigation. I think it's more of a fun thing. And as I do more events, you know, I get the opportunity to investigate these places, you know, with the public. And like I said, those are fun, but I don't consider them doing the work. I think doing the work is, you know, getting into somebody's home and helping them solve whatever issues are going on in the home. And it's not always paranormal. I think it's just as valuable if you can explain something logically to a family and make them more comfortable in their home. I think that's just as valuable as solving a paranormal issue. Either way, you're making them more comfortable. You're putting their mind at ease, and you're helping that family better understand what's going on in their house.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, how many times have you walked in to a place and, you know, and here's the other thing is, even if you talk to somebody on the phone and they're saying that they think that they have paranormal activity going in their house, and you kind of know, you get that vibe from talking to them, like, like, for example, if somebody, and I experienced this personally, somebody calls you and they're, like, shit-faced hammered. It's like, I think I have, like, ghosts or something in my house. And you go out there and it's like, your air ducts are expanding and contracting because you have your heat on or AC on, or, you know, you just got yourself so damn drunk that you hallucinated this stuff. But you'll still go out and check it out just in case.
For me, you don't
discount it, you know.
Yeah, for me, the reason I got into this field is because I had activity in my home. I just bought the home, and I tried 4 local teams, and I couldn't get a response from any of them. So for me, it's kind of personal. I respond to everybody that asks us for help. Like I said, even if you can go in and you can provide a logical answer, I think you're still helping. And that's important to me. I don't want anybody to ever think that they're not worth my time. You know, like those other teams, you know, made me feel. And you know, coincidentally, you know, 3 of those 4 teams I contacted no longer exist anymore. And, you know, I think I know the reason. You know, they didn't want to put the time and effort in and put themselves out there. So I take that very seriously. And, you know, when somebody does contact me, you know, I consider it an honor. And I guess it sounds kind of cheesy, it sounds cliche, but if you really think about it, out of all of the paranormal teams that they could have invited into their home, they chose you. And I say this during every presentation, you know, don't betray that trust. You know, they're putting themselves out there. They're very vulnerable. You know, do what you can to help those people. And, you know, I have a lot of fun at the events, but when it comes down to doing the work and investigating, I take it very seriously. And I think I have a responsibility, you know, but and to do the best that I can.
And that's, you know, and I find that extremely honorable, and I'm glad that you say that. Is I couldn't agree more. It is one of those things to where you get the yahoos who will go out there and they'll purchase equipment and they'll do all this stuff, and they basically mimic what happens on the shows versus actually looking into what it takes to do a proper research. And they don't research the area. They don't research the stuff. They just go in there with all this expensive equipment And Dennis and I have had numerous, numerous shows to where we talk about, like, it'll basically be ghost hunting 101 and go back to the basics of, you know, when you look at ancient Egypt and you look at all, this is not a new thing. It's a new fad that is starting to dwindle just, and it was created by the shows, which I love the shows in the fact of what they bring to the table as far as making paranormal investigation as a household name, but it's not a guideline. And the people who use it as a guideline are the ones that, you know, they'll go in there and they're, you know what? That does create one question that I ask everybody pretty much. So if somebody has activity in their house, do you have to do a nighttime investigation? Like, does it have to be dark and the lights are off?
No. Simple answer is no. I get that question a lot, honestly. And for me, the reason we do these investigations at night is because things are calmer. There's not so much outside noise. You know, people's lives slow down at night. You take one of your senses away and the other senses heighten. We have done investigations in the daytime, and I'm not opposed to that. If the family says, okay, it happens at specifically this time every day. You know, but for the most part, people notice these things at night, and because everything else that's going on in the world has stopped and things are quiet, you know, their lives are slower at night. You know, there's not as much going on. So, you know, that's the reason that they notice all these things. And I guess the reason that we do investigations at night, you know, just what I said earlier, is, you know, it's just easier for us. You know, there's less contamination from the outside, and it just works better for us. But, you know, investigations can certainly be done during the day.
Yeah, and that is definitely something that Dennis and I have explored. And you're right, there's, pardon the pun, but there's less life at night. Not saying that death comes out, but there's less going on. There's not school buses. There's not dump trucks. There's not, you know, any of that stuff running. But then again, I have spent numerous, numerous times in Wisconsin, and you guys party all hours of the night.
So, there will be as much life. Some of us do. I let loose about 5 times a year. That's about it. I've gotten too old for it. It hurts too much the next day. So, a lot of people will apologize, you know, at the end of the night, you know, that we had to spend our Friday or our Saturday, you know, doing an investigation. You know, if I didn't love what I do, I wouldn't do it. You know, if I was concerned with the fact that I could be out at the bar and I could be having a great time, then I don't belong in this field anyway. But, there's definitely some nightlife in Wisconsin. And honestly, during my presentation, which hopefully you'll see, you know, at Foxy's Fairfan, I have a fun little clip from a recorder that we had left outside trying to catch the noise that the client was hearing. And we ended up catching a young guy coming out of the bar and breaking to his friend and throwing up all over the place. And it's the best piece of audio I've ever gotten. And it made me laugh. It still makes me laugh. And we're going on about a year and a half.
The other thing, too, how much have you ever dipped into Final Lock at all?
We have had, I believe, 2 or 3 residential cases in Final Lock. I can't get too much into the details of those, but one of them was a pretty intense case. Some definite activity that was going on. one of our first cases that's in Fond du Lac. It was at a bar, and they won't let us use the name, which I'm kind of confused by, because if you look on the internet anywhere and you type in Fond du Lac bars on some of these paranormal sites, it comes right up. So everybody else is talking about it, but I signed paperwork saying that I wouldn't. So
yeah, you wouldn't disclose it. Well, there's one private residence, and obviously I can't talk about it on the air because it's a private home. But it's in Eden, Wisconsin. So not too far outside of Fond du Lac. That, I shit you not, man, this is the most haunted place that I've ever been. And I've been to insane asylums, jails, like all, and this place takes the cake. And it was, and I'll give you a little bit of background on the location without saying where it is. The actual location was established in 1837, which is before Wisconsin was actually a state. Was the original deed on it. I have all the information of property transfers, all that stuff. And every single claim, like today even, I got an image from somebody who was out there that took a still photo, and it pretty much coincides with all the claims of activity out there. Like, I'm talking everything. Shadow figures to mist forms to object manipulation to, like, literally everything. And it's kind of only about 20 minutes from where you live.
Yeah, it sounds too far away from me.
No, not at all. I've done the run from Oshkosh to Fond du Lac and Fond du Lac to Oshkosh a bunch of times. So, depending how far you off or you're off of 41, yeah, it wouldn't take you long to get there at all.
Might take me a little bit this week because we got the EAA and the city has been overrun and the highways are full. But yeah, typically it's only about 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, and I definitely, like, close personal friends with the homeowner, and I'd be surprised if she wasn't listening tonight. And her husband works third shift, so he probably won't be. But, yeah, if you and the team ever want to go out there, you're more than welcome, and I will tell you now, just when you go out there, bring your A-game.
That's a given. You always have to bring your A-game because, I mean, you're there for the client, but you also have to protect yourself. You know, for me, it's real important, you know, in a home like that, you know, where there is potential safety and some danger concerns, you know, I have 10 people on my team, and typically we take between 4 and 6 people on a private investigation. And I take that responsibility very seriously. You want to return these people to their families, you know, the same way that they left for that investigation. So the A game is not a concern. In my eyes, you got to do that anyway. So, yeah, if there's ever a time that they're interested in having us come out and take a look and see what we can do, I'd be happy to help out.
Well, put it this way, Jeff and Nancy have been there. And it was, like, they honestly don't know if they'll ever go back. That's actually how serious it is.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, these people live with on a daily basis.
Well,
so
I think we'll have to probably talk about this more off-air. You know, I don't want to get too much into the details, but I would definitely be interested in seeing if we could do anything for them.
Well, I know you can. It is one of those things to where, and another thing for teens out there, I hope you know your limitations to where if you, like myself, I document. I'm not a cleanser. I'm not, like, anything like that. There's certain people that are specialized in that. Cool. But for, like, a documentation standpoint, that's exactly of what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go out there and say, oh, you have all this activity in your house, and, oh, you're getting this negativity. I don't dive into that. That's not something that I am equipped to deal with. I can say, hey, yeah, you have this going on. Or I can't figure out a reason or idea for this. But there is no way in hell that I will tell you, like, as a homeowner ever, that I'll be able to take care of it. And don't worry.
And I think that raises a good point because, you know, even teams that have somebody, you know, that can come in and do a cleansing, and we have people that we call for that sort of thing, I still don't guarantee it because I really feel that there is no guarantee. You know, I can try to get rid of something, try to cleanse your home, but I certainly can't tell you that it's going to be 100% gone. I guess for us, we try to get the family to a point where they're comfortable living with whatever is there. And I'm just guessing, you know, at this point that they've lived with it long enough now that, you know, they may not be comfortable with it, but it's at a point where it's livable. And I'm kind of putting words in their mouth, and I've never met them, but, you know, I'm fortunate to the point that I've been in this field for almost 6 years, which doesn't seem like a long time, but I've done so many private investigations that, you know, I have a lot of experience under my belt, and the best thing for me is that I have so many friends, you know, within the field. For some reason, from day one, people saw something good in me and wanted to help. And I've been soaking in all of that knowledge since day one because there's so many things that I can learn from conversations with anybody in the field, really. But I really believe that if you get a chance to talk to somebody who's been doing this for 20 to 30 to 40 years, you know, at that point, you know, you just open up your ears and you try to soak in as much knowledge as you can, try to learn as much as you can and apply it to what you do. And we talked a little bit on Facebook this week, and I'm excited about going down to Mid-South Paracon. It's my first time speaking down there in Louisville. The biggest thing for me, though, is that I finally get to meet John Zaffis. And yeah, I've been bothering John this week and telling him that, hey, I want to sit down, I want to learn from you, you know, give me anything you can as far as advice. And he did. He got back to me and he said, we'll make time this week. And that's huge for me. And it really is. And I'm so looking forward to, you know, picking his brain, you know, and getting whatever advice I can from him and building a friendship. Because there may be a time when one of my clients needs his expertise. And to be able to call people like that and call on their knowledge and their experience is huge. And, you know, at the end of the day, it sounds corny, but it's the truth. At the end of the day, it's all about the client. It's not about me. It's not about my ego. If I can't handle it, I'm going to be very honest with you. But I'm lucky enough that I have enough friends in this field that if I don't feel comfortable with it, I can damn sure call somebody that is. And at that point, it becomes good for the client, and it's also a learning experience, you know, for me and my team.
No, and I completely and 1,000% agree with you. If that's one thing that I do see is people get in over their heads and they think they know everything and, you know, everything's all hunky-dory and great. But the one thing that I hate in the scientific field, and I'm not just talking about paranormal, I'm just talking in general about the scientific field, is somebody who calls himself an expert. So when you start to get into expertise, even NASA, and I have friends who work at NASA, and I've talked to them, and they're like, you know what, I'm a specialist in the field, I'm not an expert. So anything that comes down to a scientific manner, nobody's an expert because it's constantly changing. And for anybody who says that they're an expert in the paranormal is really honestly blowing smoke up your ass. Because you can't be an expert if you can't do tests that cancel out all different walks of life, all different walks of paranormal, all different walks of anything. You can't be an expert because it's constantly evolving, it's constantly changing. That is one thing that
I completely I completely agree with you. And you know, I did use the word expertise, and honestly kind of slipped out of my mouth because usually I don't use that word, but you know, I do. I talk about more you know, experience. You know, and are there experts in the field? I agree with you. No, they're not. But there are more. There are people with more knowledge. There are people with more experience. If I can sit down and learn from somebody that's been doing this for 30 years, I'm going to take that opportunity. Are they going to know everything? Yeah, no. But are they going to know more than me at this point? There's a good chance, yes. So anytime I get to spend time around people that have logged this many years in this field, I try to take advantage of that and learn what I can from them.
No, and you're absolutely right. And I didn't mean to seem like I put you on the spot of like expert or expertise or, you know, anything at all.
No, I just realized that I use the word and I usually don't use it. So I wanted to clarify myself.
No, it's one of those things. And like I said, and paranormal completely aside, just in general, if somebody is a speech pathologist and they call themselves an expert, well, you can't be an expert in an evolving field. Like, and that's the one thing with science is everything is constantly evolving. So it doesn't even have to do with the paranormal whatsoever. It just has to do with the scientific field that you cannot self-proclaim yourself as an expert, and if people believe that, then they should actually take a step back and look at it like, dude, well, you know, you proved this theory, and you don't have anything to back it up, or you do have to back it up, but somebody took it to the next level and did this. Well, you're not an expert at that point. If you're a specialist and you specialize in that format, yeah. You know, like, for example, Doug and Debbie Constantino, they're EVP specialists. They're not EVP experts. And that's something that's definitely used. And that's how they portray themselves just for that fact. You can't be an EVP expert. You may have the latest and greatest audio software, but it doesn't mean that you are the end-all and say-all of what happens in the EVP world. I don't know. I personally just hate the labels.
Well, I'm right there with you on that.
Besides that and opinion, what is your favorite like non, obviously, private residence place, but what's your favorite, like, go-to in Wisconsin? Like, dude, you're up here, you got to check this out.
For me, it's tough. I guess, you know, for a long time, the Kewaunee Inn. There was a funeral home that they also owned, and we got to investigate that place about 8 times. It's a place I saw my first full body apparition, and honestly, my only. I haven't seen one since on an investigation. So, unfortunately, the place changed owners, and we don't have the kind of relationship we had with the previous owner. So, we no longer get to investigate there. One of my favorite places in Wisconsin, as far as a public place to investigate, is the First Ward Schoolhouse in Wisconsin Rapids. It's owned by Judy Carl and Justin Libbigs, really good people, and a very active location. It really is. And that's one of the reasons we chose that location for the Thursday night investigation leading into Fox News Paracon. Beyond that, in Wisconsin, we really do concentrate on the residential investigation. And I guess I still get nervous before every one of them because, you know, you don't know if, you know, this is going to be, you know, that investigation that you're going to be telling your kids about for the next 20 years or that sort of thing. But, you know, I guess I take those investigations just as seriously as the big fun, you know, pay-for investigations or the commercial buildings. I'm giving you a really long answer to a simple question, but I guess the short answer is First Ward Schoolhouse. That would be my favorite.
So, speaking of Final Lock, have you done the Ramada? Even, I don't know, event or no? Because that is one place that I hear just lights up at night.
From what I've been told by many people, they are not open to the place being investigated. And I have enough on my plate now that I don't need to look for investigation. So I have not gone out of my way to inquire about investigating there. But, yeah, I've heard all the stories. You know, and, you know, there's a lot of them. You start listening to the people in Fond du Lac, but, yeah, have not been there.
Dude, the one place I really, really, really want to do, and I guess is open, but I don't know if they're starting to charge or whatever it is. I'm getting mixed reviews on that, is the Pink House. Which is supposedly the most haunted place in Fond du Lac.
I'm not even familiar with the name, I'll be honest with you.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Dude, I'm 164 miles away, and I know the Pink House better than you do. No, the Pink House is off of Johnson. You know where the mobile is on Johnson to Main? Like
I can't visualize it, but yeah, I know the area.
So Johnson and Main, there's specifically there's a Walgreens on the corner, and then it's between the Walgreens and the Quick Trip by Salty's, the seafood restaurant. The Pink House is kind of like in the middle of that block or the middle of that stretch. So the Pink House is one of the most haunted places in Fond du Lac. There, everybody who rents the place is, or rent to own is gone in like 2 weeks.
No, I honestly, I had never heard of it before, so I might have to look into it a little bit.
God, I'm more Wisconsin than you are. But no, there's a few places there. Even the break room off of Scott Street. like right across from where the old Festival Foods used to be. Yeah, the break room has started to get stuff, which they think is the previous owner. I'm not going to say her name, but I love her to death, and, well, love her to after death because she has passed away. So there's a lot of places that are in Wisconsin that I really, really, really want to get into. It's just waiting for the time allowance to where what I sell motorcycles for a living. This is the busy season. So I work 6 days a week, Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, and Saturday, 10 to 6, and then do two radio shows a week. So my schedule is normally pretty much booked.
It doesn't leave time for much else. I feel your pain on that. I work a rotating 12-hour shift schedule, so I get one weekend a month off completely. So I have to be very creative with my vacations and make sure there's time to do this stuff.
Yeah. It's always fun when work definitely takes over your whole life. And then you have to develop a paracon on top of it.
The hard part's done. Now we just get to the point where we got to get people to come out and support the event, sell a few more tickets, and we all get together for a really fun weekend.
Well, I know you said before the first, so if you want to give a quick rundown of if people buy tickets before the first, what they're entered in.
Yeah, if you buy tickets before the first, my good friend Scott Teverman, formerly of Ghost Hunters International, has now become quite the horror movie actor, producer, and writer. And he wrote his own horror movie. It's called Ice Cream. And I'm going to be in the movie. I'm actually a mailman, but I don't know if I'm supposed to tell anybody that. But cat's out of the bag. But I called Scott one day, and I said, let's do something special for the Paracon. Let's put together a contest. I said, if I can get a contest together, can I offer people a role in the movie? You know, it'll be a small role. It's not going to be a starring role, but basically for those that buy tickets before August 1st, you're going to get a signed copy of the DVD of The Hospital, which is the latest movie that Scott is in. Signed 8x10, signed book from Scott Tuckerman, and then the big grand prize is airfare and filming a scene in Scott's new movie, Ice Cream. And he's excited about it. I'm excited about it. I've known Scott before Ghost Hunters International. We are actually really good friends, and I love the guy to death. I really do. He's been a good guy for me to talk to, and you know, he keeps me grounded, and it's somebody that I can bounce ideas off of, you know, not just paranormal related, but just, you know, normal guy stuff. And, you know, there's a good friendship there, and I wish him all the best here in this new phase of his life. And, you know, he's doing the horror movie stuff now, and you know, he's very good at it. So I wish him the best, and I'm glad that we could tie this into our events. And we're actually going to be showing one of his short movies. It's called Creepy Crawly. It's an 8-minute short film, and I saw it in Indianapolis. And for an 8-minute film, it actually is very good, very entertaining, and it'll make you jump at the end. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to seeing who wins this, you know, airfare and who wins the role in the movie. And you know, if you're into horror movies at all, this is a chance of a lifetime. It really is.
Yeah, that's definitely cool. You know what, I was thinking about it too, is for really, really what it is and the amount of people that is seeming to be lining up to come to it and to have that opportunity. what's the website that people can go to actually, you know, purchase tickets if you're in the area, all that kind of stuff?
The website is www.wi-fcpt.com. It stands for Wisconsin-Fox Cities Paranormal Team. So if you're having trouble understanding me over the radio and you need to go Google it, it's Fox Cities Paranormal Team. And in the top right, there's going to be a link for Fox Cities Paracon 2013. You click on that link, and it'll take you right to it. And for those that want to purchase tickets and get involved in that contest, you got 2 days. So we'll be doing the drawing at the Paracon and probably do the drawing right after the Creepy Crawly showing. So it'll be an exciting day for one person. And we hope that whoever wins it really enjoys the whole experience.
And you don't have to be present to win, correct?
No, you don't.
All right. So everybody get your asses on Google, get your asses to the website, and register, because you don't actually have to go to Wisconsin to win and possibly be part of a production. So why not? But yeah, no, I definitely, like, I'm extremely looking forward to it. I know you have other stuff going on. Well, yeah, you know what? You got other stuff going on too, if you want to throw the promotion out there for that.
The other stuff I have going on, I just got back from Winnipeg 2 weeks ago. I was happy to be a part of Winnipeg Paracon. We had a fantastic time up there. I'm already booked for next year's event. It'll be in September 2014. This weekend, I'm going to be in Louisville, Kentucky, speaking at the Mid-South Paranormal Conference, and very excited about that. My first Mid-South Paracon, and quite an honor to be able to speak there. In October, I'm going to be in Petoskey, Michigan for Little Traverse Bay Parafest. Looking forward to that. It should be a great time. And at all of these events, I am raising money for Pawtographs for Pooches. It's a foundation that I started a few months ago. Basically, it's an autographed 8x10 of myself and my dog. And my dog also autographs these. And we sell them for $10, and we pick a charity in the city that we're in for the event, and all the money goes to a local shelter in that city. So it's something to give back to the shelters in the area, something to give back to the shelters because, you know, I got my dog Murray from a shelter also. So I just want to give back and, make something good out of the event and leave our mark and donate to a great cause.
Well, Tim, do you know Michael Carroll?
I do. I know of Michael. I don't know him personally.
And, yeah, he has Neft, Northeast Spiritual something. I'd have to look it up. To be 100% sure. Well, Michael was actually in Kentucky for the same event this weekend. So hopefully you'll be able to hook up with him. And just a down-earth, like, cool, just, you know, sweet, sweet guy. Him and his fiance Lisa. Just awesome, awesome people. That's who Dennis was hanging out with in Connecticut last night. So if you end up running into him down there, I believe, I'm trying to look for it online, but my computer's giving me the little swirly thing next to the icon, which means it's thinking and it's stupid. But... Yeah, no, I mean, if you're down there and everything, it's like, hook up with Michael Carroll if it's the same event. I wish I could give you the info, but my computer is not cooperating. So, anyway, Ursula messaged me back, and we'll talk about it after the show.
Okay.
But, yeah, if he's down there, no joke, hook up with him. Great, great guy. Him and his fiance Lisa, just down to earth. More than willing to help out and promote anything and be involved in whatever. So they're from Connecticut. They're kind of driving around the whole Midwest right now doing some stuff and making a stop down in the, the Mid-South Paracon?
Yes.
Yeah. See, you know what? Forgive me. I got that one right, but I messed yours up. I'm so used to people from Wisconsin talking about Fox Valley, Fox Valley, Fox Valley, not Fox Cities. So that was my issue on the promotion. I live and this is I live across from Fox Valley Mall, so that's where it actually stuck in my head that it was Fox Valley, not Fox River or Fox Cities.
It's okay. Most of the time when I do a radio show, they call it Fox City Paranormal. They forget that there's more than one city. but yeah, it's just like my name. A lot of people get the name wrong, and I just kind of let it roll off my back because there's not a lot I can do about it. It's really, in the grand scheme of things, not a real big deal. So no worries.
I don't know if you want to say it or not, but that was one of the funniest relations that I have ever actually heard on somebody saying, like, oh, yeah, if you think about it this way, of what do you sent me about your last name?
Basically, I just said, just so you know, for the show tonight, my name is pronounced, and I spelled it out like Miley. And I said, yes, like Miley. I said, yes, like that bitch Miley Cyrus. So, yeah, whenever I tell people the pronunciation of my name, they always say, oh, like Miley Cyrus. So I just kind of decided that I was going to laugh it off and just embrace it. And it goes back to my love of the movie Office Space, where you got the guy named Michael Bolton. And they say,
yeah.
Oh, like the singer. And he goes, I was Michael before he was, that douchebag, or whatever he says. So,
yeah,
now that's my claim to fame. I share a name with her.
Well, no, she shares a name with you.
Yes.
Let's put the credit where credit is due. She should be honored to have your name, even though the spelling is different. But pronunciation means the same.
Yes.
So, hey, one last thing, and the reason I'm kind of putting this out there right now is we always, I know Dennis isn't with me, and normally that's a good thing. No, Dennis is phenomenal, phenomenal co-host, and yeah, it's his birthday, so he's having fun, but he will be back Wednesday to torment everybody on Full Spectrum Radio. But anything else you want to throw out there as far as contact-wise or anything about any of the events, just one last, and we'll get in a couple other questions, and that'll be it.
Basically, if anybody wants to reach me, it's just Tim Miley, M-A-I-L-E, on Facebook. Send me a friend request. Shoot me a message. Look us up on the web. It's Fox City's Paranormal Team. You can find us on Facebook also, Fox City's Paranormal Team. I do my own radio show on Thursday nights with my fiancée, Amy. It's called Fox City's Paranormal Radio. And it's over on ztalkradio.com, and we really enjoy doing the show and have a chance to talk to a lot of people within the field, and it's just a lot of fun for us. So it's a nice thing that we get to do together and call our own, and we've been doing that for about a year and a half now. And other than that, not much else to promote. You know, the Podographs for Pooches, the Fox News Paranormal Team, and my family. That's about what I got, and I'm happy with that.
So you're a Z-Talk child, huh?
I am.
Yeah, it's, you know what? Blog Talk is, it is what it is, and I have no problem bashing the network itself as a whole. I hope that you guys on Z-Talk don't have the issues that we constantly have on Blog Talk, to where you can only access it via Google Chrome. And by the way, the only reason I bring this up is because of all the shit that I've started. Blog Talk actually does go back and listen to my archives and listen to my complaints about the network itself. So, no issues tonight, except for my cell phone carrier dropping the call. Thank you, T-Mobile, on that one. But besides that, no, we're talking about, possibly going to the Z-Talk or one of the other ones that's out there. But our home and our radio slot is one of the, and I have to say thank you to everybody on the URN network. We are one of the highest rated shows that is on, our network has the highest, some of the highest rated shows that are on Blog Talk in the genre, so I definitely appreciate that. I do Monday night Into the Darkness, normally with Dennis the whole show, but it's his birthday, so I let him take off. I'm kind of one of those nice people. I should have made his ass stick around, and we could just listen to him get drunk and funnier.
Well, for those that are interested in Z-Talk Radio, I am also the station manager. So if anybody out there is thinking about coming to Z-Talk, I'm the guy to talk to. So I'll just throw that out, and that'll be the last promotion that I throw out for the network. But I just had to add that.
Well, in that case, can you accommodate, 7 shows from 8 to 10, Monday through Friday, or Monday through Sunday?
Monday through Sunday is a little full, 8 to 10, but if you're interested, we can definitely talk.
All right, yeah, no, definitely interested. And I do have to say, as long as we're on the air, and I'm sorry to take away from what we've been talking about, but Ray Rucker, Big Ray, from Ghost Raps Radio, is out of Richmond, Virginia. They were broadcasting on AM/FM radio. Then went to BPVN, and that just didn't exactly pan out all that great. But yes, Ray Rucker from Ghost Raps Radio, and also on a crap ton of other networks. Simultaneously, will be he's joined on with us with URN for Thursday night. So, Big Ray, welcome to the family, and should have a damn good broadcast. And I will be a short guest on his show because he set up a great one. And also, I will be producing the show, so I'll be running the board for him just to get him acclimated. So, looking forward to that on Thursday. Wednesday is going to be Full Spectrum Radio, which is Dennis and I. But, dude, I work 6 days a week and run 2 radio shows, and now I picked up a third. So, work time is fun. Love it. I honestly do, or I wouldn't do it. But, yeah, I am really, really looking forward to the Fox City Spare Fest. And, a decent amount of people that are going to be there. And I know that I'm going to make new friends when I'm there. So it's just going to be extremely, extremely fun.
I'm looking forward to it, too. For me, I don't have a whole lot of time to make new friends during the day, but when everything's done and we all get together on Saturday night and things are more calm, That's when I will try to make my rounds and get to know everyone, and hopefully people don't think I'm too standoffish, but I got a lot of work to do during the day of that day, so I have to make sure that everything goes as planned.
Yeah, I definitely can understand that, and I know as the closer and closer that it gets to actually the day of the event is going to be, well, I would assume, because I would be this way, and I'm going to forecast you in this way, of the girl who can't find her proper, awesome, perfect dress for prom night. Oh my God, is this okay? Is that okay? Like, that's pretty much the point that I would be as the day progresses or the week progresses to that actual event.
There's definitely going to be a lot of details, a lot of dotting the I's and crossing the T's. So it's a lot of work, but it's all worth it. And really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and so am I. I know it's going to be a blast. Ursula did actually get back to me and says that she doesn't have a minute tonight, but she will have possibly some time tomorrow. I don't know exactly what's going on, but if you have to do what you have to do with what you messaged me before, then cool, and then we'll figure it out after that.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
You understand what I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm definitely hoping to get a damn bus full of people up there. If not, I'll get a few carloads full of people up there.
That would be great. Like I said earlier, the more the merrier. We got room for a lot of people. And anytime you get a bunch of us together and we share the same love of the field, you can't help but have a good weekend. So, I hope people come out and support the event, and in turn support the Oshkosh Public Museum, because all the proceeds from this event will go to the Oshkosh Public Museum. We are not taking anything from this event. We don't want to make money on it. We would love to break even. Breaking even would cause a great celebration. So that's the goal, and if we have anything left over, it goes to the museum.
Yeah, and the one thing we haven't covered, since we have about 12 minutes left, the venue is, it's the Radisson off of 41, correct?
It's the Radisson Paper Valley Hotel. It's right on College Avenue. It's a couple miles off of 41, but it's a first-class venue, first-class everything. We went top of the line, so it'll be nice to work with a professional staff, and they'll take care of their end, and we'll take care of ours. And at the end of the day, it's a beautiful hotel. If people go to the website and they're looking for tickets, there's also a hotel tab. And there's special deals from four local hotels, including the Radisson Paper Valley. So get those tickets while you can, and get the hotel while you can, because the Green Bay Packers do have a home game that weekend. And the hotels around here do fill up pretty fast. So, get on the hotel and make sure you got somewhere to stay.
Yes, and personally, I'm trying to decide if I want to leave the possibility of the flight and idea of being in the movie open, or if I want to book it previously, which I might actually book mine on the 2nd, just to give other people an opportunity who might not ever be able to get an opportunity like that before. So I'm trying to decide that. But, yes, I will be pre-booking my tickets and my room, even if it costs more. Fine. No big deal. It's money. I'll make more tomorrow.
Yeah, they gave us a pretty decent deal on rooms, I should say. It being the Radisson, it is a little bit more expensive, but the rooms do start at $109 per night. So that's actually quite the savings from what they usually are. So hopefully people will take advantage of that, stay for the karaoke party afterwards, and we'll all wake up on Sunday morning and we'll go have a hangover breakfast.
Yeah, a couple of Bloody Marys, some eggs. It'll be Wisconsin. I can't say buffet, but it'll be Wisconsin breakfast. At least the ones that I've had when I've been there. So, all right, brother. I definitely appreciate you taking the time. And I know 2 hours actually goes by very, very fast. Which you probably hear your clock and be like, oh, shit, I've been on the radio for 2 hours now?
I'm thinking to myself, I gotta get some more food and get to bed because I got to get up for work at 5 in the morning. But it's been a lot of fun, and I thank you for this opportunity to come on and talk about the Paracon and talk a little bit about why we all do this and some of the things that we've experienced. So thank you very much, and I look forward to meeting you here in a few weeks.
Yeah, definitely, and me the same. And hey, in the future, I know we'll talk about this more actually at the physical event, but if you do ever need somebody, I know that Jeff, Scott, Nancy, and Dale would actually recommend you fill in, hit me up. I have no problem speaking in front of people. I do this shit every single week. Twice a week. So, and I won't even charge you a damn thing. I'll just do it out of the goodness of my heart.
All right. Well, definitely keep you in mind.
All right, brother. You have a good night.
You too.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Into the Darkness Radio on Mondays. Happy birthday to Dennis. Thank you for sure to Tim Miley, minus Osiris. It has been a wonderful, wonderful night. I will see you Wednesday on Full Spectrum Radio. And I seriously cannot look forward more to this event than anything I currently have going on, which is mostly work. So, have a good night, and we will see you on Wednesday, same place, same time, 8 to 10, Central Time. You have a good night.